Hey, you guys having fun tonight? Hey, I have the amazing opportunity. Michael, go ahead and bring that up, buddy. I get the amazing opportunity to introduce our guest speaker. He is all the way from the beautiful Tri-Cities, also known as the Bahamas of Washington. Come on, somebody. And so I'm gonna hand it over to him. But can we do something? Can we give him and his new bride, McKenna, can we give them a warm salvage our welcome? Would you stand to your feet? Would you give it up as Austin comes?
All right, take a seat. I am fresh from Mexico. And I'm not from there, but I was just honeymooning in Mexico, and I just got married. What was the day again? I don't remember. I'm just kidding. May 20th to the beautiful McKenna here in the front row, and so this is the first time I'm preaching as a married man. It's probably going to be a lot better than normal. You know what I'm saying? I just new authority. Okay, not that funny. Okay, all right. I know you guys have been in this series, Fight to the Finish, which I love, by the way. And I got a new message for you I've never preached before. Is it okay if I share it with you guys tonight? I really felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to share with you. And so oftentimes, you know, if I'm somewhere else, I'll just preach kind of what I've preached recently at our church or our youth group or something like that. But I really felt like God had a specific word for you guys tonight. And so if you're taking notes, if you don't got notes, just prick your finger and use the blood on your arm. But if you're taking notes tonight, I want to title it this, staying on the theme of Fight to the Finish, I want to title it this, Fighting to Go Deeper, Fighting to Go Deeper. And I'm excited for message tonight. I actually just want to say thank you guys for having me tonight. I was just telling Pastor Josh this, who's my dad, who's a youth pastor a long time ago, was here actually at this very place, in this very spot, preaching. I don't even know how long ago, like what, like 10, 8 years, something like that. And I got, and he, my dad, like 10 minutes before the service started, said, hey, Austin, I want you to come up and share for 5 minutes, which was a little nerve wracking for me, 5 minutes before we walked in here. And so it's just cool to be back here today. I'm so excited to preach to you tonight. It's going to be good. All right, fighting to go deeper. Luke chapter 5, I believe we have it on the screen tonight. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to read this, and then we're going to get going tonight. We're going to have a good time. Come on, somebody said amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Okay. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. I want you to pay attention to that. Just to put out a little from the land, just right next to the shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets to catch a fish. And while Simon answered, Master, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. I will let down the nets. Hey, let's pray together, and then we're going to dive into this passage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being in this place. Holy Spirit, we're asking tonight that people would leave here differently than when they walked in. God, help us just to laugh and to enjoy you tonight. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, to open up our minds and our ears, Lord. We want to hear from you, and we thank you, God, for the Seattle Seahawks in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody said. I was going to say Blazers, but then I forgot that your pastors are Golden State Warrior fans. Is anybody want to see the Cavaliers win the NBA Finals? Okay. Anybody want to see the Golden State Warriors win the NBA Finals? Okay, and who in here just does not care? All righty. That's awesome. Well, like I said, I was just recently in Mexico, Cancun, Mexico. And let me tell you something about Mexicans. They know how to dance, man. Mexicans are great dancers. And Mexicans make some of the best food in the entire world. Come on, somebody. They do. They do. They make great food. Well, when I was in Cancun, my lovely wife, McKenna here, says we should do one of the excursions. In other words, we should we're at this resort. We should go do one of the excursions that they offer. They offer these different things, like you can pay to go on this, like, you know, bus and then go and do like ATV riding or, you know, scuba diving or swimming with dolphins or whatever. But it all costs money, so we want to make the right decision because we're only going to do one of these. And so we're looking through these different packages, plans at the resort of these different things we want to do. And so there was this one package that had three different things you could do for a really good price. Okay, it offered lunch while you were there. It offered the transportation. And here's what you got to do. You got to go four-wheeling, you know, through the Cancun jungle, okay, which is cool. You got to go swimming in these caves that are underground, you know, with this awesome gear on. You get to look under the water and stuff. It's pretty cool in these awesome caves. And on top of that, you're going to do some zip lining, okay? And so I was pretty excited, but I was nervous about one thing. I was really hoping that the zip line would just be one zip line and it'd be like 20 feet, 15, 10 feet, 5 feet off of the ground, okay? And it wasn't, because we are about midway through the day, and my tour guide, who's a little, you know what I'm saying, was like, "All right, we're going to do some zip lining. Are you guys ready to rumble?" And I'm like, "I want to die." And so we look, and there's these wooden towers. There's this wooden tower, and I'm like, "Where does it go to?" He goes, "Oh, it goes to the next tower." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "And then that tower goes to that tower, and then that tower goes to that tower." And I said, okay. That looks pretty high to me. He says, "Yeah, it's pretty high." And he said, I said, "Is that the highest one?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "You're lying, aren't you?" He goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay." And I was started, no joke, and I was hot in Mexico. Okay, it's hot in Mexico, but I started sweating in places I didn't know were possible. I just started getting really nervous, adrenaline rush. Some of you are like, TMI, okay? And so I started getting nervous. You know what I mean? Like, if you're scared of heights, this is not your ideal scenario. Anybody else scared of heights in here? You do not even like climbing trees. Okay, that's me. Like, I'm not a ladder. Don't ask me to go up on a ladder. That's not me. I got to tell you guys, though, just so you know, there's a few things in life I'm scared of. Okay? There's a few things in life I'm a little scared of horses. Okay? I'm also scared of chickens. Okay? They can never look at you with two eyes at a time. It's always one. And they're always a little creepy, and they never walk just like a normal, you know. Could you imagine if chicken was just walking like this? It's always, you know, it's just such fast motions. And I honestly believe at the gates of hell are pecking chickens at your calves. Just, you know, it just, and then demon juice just squirts out of their goblet mouth. Why do you think they call them deviled eggs? The reason I eat chicken nuggets is because it's revenge. Every single one. Just, thank you, Jesus. This one's dead. So anyways, scared of chickens. I hate spiders. I don't like bugs in general. Things that flap. I got to tell you that heights ranks up with some of my most devastating fears. I do not like heights. So I told my leader, I told the guide, I'm like, "Hey, listen, here's the deal. I should go first. He says, "Really?" I said, "Yes, because if I go last, I'm going to talk myself out of it, and the anticipation is going to kill me, and you're waiting on the stairs, and all there is some wooden steps with this net around you so you don't fall out and die, and I should just walk up to the thing and just strap in and go. I don't even want to think about it, because if I think about it, I ain't going to do it." And I'm sweating. I pay money for this thing. I feel like I have to do this. I don't want to be a wimp in front of my new wife, you know? And so I'm just like, "Come on, Austin, pull it together." You know, you're talking yourself into this, and you're nervous. You're nervous. And so I'm like, "Okay, here we go. You know, I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm on Red Bull. So, and so I start walking up the stairs, and I'm just start praying. You know what I'm talking about? If you're an atheist, go ziplining. You'll believe in God. Yeah. "Oh, Father. Oh, Lord." And so I'm walking up the stairs, and I'm just like, "Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. And so I get to the top, and I'm waiting because there's a stinking line. And I'm like, "Oh, gosh." And here's the worst part. I look at how this operation's about to go down. They put you into, you know, your straps. They strap you to the cords above. And then you got to kind of like walk out over it. So it's not like you're sitting down
little launch thing in the back that kind of pushes it for you. You kind of have to do that part. So I'm like, oh, God. I get strapped in. I tell the guy, I'm like, are you a professional? Because I'm really nervous. And he's like, yes, don't worry. Don't worry, my friend. Don't worry. Only two people have died today. I said, you're about to be a third. I'll kick you off. You mess with me. I was so nervous. He straps me in. And I just yelled. But my wife doesn't win. But you know that moment?
I just really wanted to do that. And I just yelled this as I jump off. USA! And I'm on the zip line, and I'm like, okay, this isn't horrible. This isn't the worst thing. And so, you know, I'm a little bit like, oh, you're 55 feet here, I'll say it's fine, you know. And so I finally hit the tower, you know, I'm like, woo! The guy goes, all right, get up and go up the stairs. I'm like, I got to do that again. I said, yeah, he goes, this one's 15 feet higher. And then the next one's 15 feet higher after that. I had to change my underwear after that a little exchange. I was so scared. That was awkward. You didn't laugh at that part. You're just like, oh, been there. Yeah. It was horrible. It was horrible. I, no joke, though, felt accomplished. I felt good about what I had just done. You know what I'm talking about? And I felt like getting to one tower was good enough for me because I'm like, I just conquered my fear. Are you kidding me? I just did what I didn't want to do. I got to tower one, and now I have to do this three more times? I don't think so, Satan. You know, I'm like, I'm proud of myself. I realized this, though, that to finish the course, I had to keep on going. And can I just tell you this? There's a lot of Christians who get to one experience or one encounter with God or one great summer camp, or they read their Bible for 1 week. They do one great thing for God. They move from one tower to the next. Maybe you got saved. You believed in Jesus. You entered into a relationship. But what do? They stop there, whether it's because of fear, whether it's because of lust, whether it's because of insecurity, whether it's because you don't really care about God, or you don't know God, or you don't love God, or you love other things more than God. But I want to ask you something tonight. We're going to come back to this at the end. What's the one thing that's keeping you from going to the next step in your walk with God? Have you made that next step? What is that one thing that's keeping you from going deeper in your relationship with God? You know, when you walk up to the pool, there's always a section that says what? No diving allowed. It's like the kiddie section. It's the shallow section because if you dive in, you're going to break your neck, okay? It's too short. It's too shallow for you to dive in. And when you're young, you stay in the kiddie pool because you're not great at swimming. But as you get older, you begin to go to the deeper end. There's a lot of Christians who've grown up in God, who've grown up in Christ, but you've never left the shallow water. You've never left that one experience. And we're just in the intro, but here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you tonight to go, God, I don't want to live in shallow Christianity. I want to go deeper in my relationship with you. I want to go further than I've been before. Listen, you don't need to wait to camp to raise your hands at worship. You don't need to wait for camp to get on fire for God. What a horrible idea anyways. Get on fire now. Let that fire burn. Listen, you don't need to get to camp to get inspired. I'm telling you, you can go deeper right now. It's interesting because Jesus says this. He's teaching at the shore in the shallow area. And he says to Simon, he says, Simon, I want to take you where it's deeper. We're going to go fishing. It's interesting because he takes him out to go fishing. Simon's out in the deep water, and check this out. He says, I want you to cast it on the other side, and then he gets all the fish, whatever, and then Jesus says this. He says, this is what you're going to do, Simon.
you're going to be a fisher of men. He was showing him in the deeper water what his calling, what his purpose was. And listen, here's what you need to know tonight. You'll never find your calling or your purpose living in shallow Christianity. It's when God gets you alone in deeper waters that you will realize who you are in God, your calling, your destiny, your purpose. There's some of you tonight, and you're thinking, I don't know my purpose. I don't know my calling. I don't know my destiny. And it's because, listen, it's never going to happen from just these experiences we encounter once a year or once a month or one time a week on Wednesdays. It's when you get alone with God, you get away from the crowd, and you go with Jesus, when you go with the Lord, and you go to deeper waters. I'm telling you, that's where you will find out your calling. Your calling really shapes your lifestyle and your character. Let me tell you a story about how calling shaped my lifestyle. I'll drink that. Okay. I had to catch my breath from the thing. That was kind of weird, huh? Thank you. Maybe I'll do it later if the Holy Spirit leads me. So I don't know. Sorry. I was in high school, and I believe I was just turned 17, and I was a junior in high school. So I had never done drugs or whatever. That just really wasn't the thing I had faced, the temptation I had faced. I struggled with a lot of things, believe me, a lot of things. But just drugs were not the part of my life that I had ever, kind of got into. And so I thank God for that, because I know a lot of people have struggled with addiction. Some of my friends have struggled with drug addiction and stuff like that. But here's what happened. I'm sitting in a Spanish class, and I go from Spanish class to my government class. And in government class, they talk about what they call social issues. Okay, that's a lot of different things, okay? But the government has a say in the social issues of our country. And so one of those was legalizing marijuana, okay? And so we're talking about in government. And I loved government because I was that guy who loved to debate. Like, we weren't even debating, but I would, like, stand up and start debating with you. I'm like, nuh-uh, because 17 points of why not, and all this stuff. And so my teacher calls me. His name is Mr. Sim. Mr. Sim says, Austin, what do you think about the legalization of marijuana if they tax it at 21%? What do you think about the legalization of marijuana? And I said, you know what? I know marijuana is a drug. And, in my opinion, this is what I said. It's a gateway drug. I don't know about pot, though, and weed. Those things I'm not sure about, and I can't speak to that legalization because I haven't done any research on them, and I think that those are probably worse than marijuana, and so we probably should not make those legal. Marijuana, though, it is a debate. I will give you that. It's a conversation. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me, when I was 17 years old, all those three things are the same thing, okay? Just different lingo. That's how much I had not been around marijuana. Didn't know the actual names for the chemical, okay, or for the drug. I didn't know. It was funny because I was on my back. I found out that they were all the same thing that day when everyone laughed at me hysterically in my government class. I am scarred by that. And I was on the varsity team, though, that year for basketball. One of the seniors comes up to me, really good player. In fact, he's playing semi-pro basketball right now. He's really good. He's 6'7", so he's a big guy. His name's Derek. And he comes up to me and says, hey, Austin. I said, yeah, he goes, hey, tomorrow night, us and some of the guys, about five of the guys from the team, we're going to go to the house and smoke pot. And he says, can you do that? And I said, I'll bring you a diagram tomorrow. And I'm not kidding you. I thought I have to back this up. So I went home and made this whole presentation for him, printed it all out in a binder, brought it to school, and gave it to all the guys on the basketball team. And I basically made up the definition of it's getting rid of it. It's just like, that was probably, shouldn't have probably done that actual move. It was bad. You're like, where is he going with this? I don't know. No, I just. Later that week, one of the guys comes up to me, hears about my little phrase that I made up, and hands me a bag of it. I had never have touched it or anything like that. And in that moment, you know what I thought of? I didn't think of, what will my mom do? Even though my mom's voice instills the fear of God. It wasn't, hey, what will my dad think? It wasn't this, what will my church think? That's not what was going through my head. It wasn't even, what's my basketball team going to think if I give up on my standards and I give in to them? You know what my thoughts were? God has called me into something greater. Why would I mess around with something so small as something that's not going to help me get further in my relationship with God? Listen, some of you think, that's why the Bible says that his laws are not burdensome. Because some of you look at it like obligations. You look at it like the law of God is this thing that you have to follow if you want to go to heaven. And that's not true either. I'm here to tell you tonight that when you know you're called by God, it changes the way you live your life. And so listen, if you're having a trouble right now living the right way, it's because you need to know your calling. You need to know who God's called you to be. God has a destiny on your life. He has a purpose on your life. Why would you throw it away with stuff that's going to jeopardize that? Stuff that's going to get you off track. Stuff that's going to distract you, that guy or that girl, that thing or that. Listen, whatever it might be, that addiction, why would you give in to something that could potentially get you off track when God has called you to do great things? I'm telling you, if you can get this in your spirit tonight, that God has called you to do something greater than anybody else around you, then it will change the way you're living. It will change how your character operates. You will begin to live in this new life. I'm telling you what, I remember my dad growing up always telling me, Austin, you're destined for greatness. You should never forget who you are because there's a call of God in your life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, don't forget who you are or what God has done for you. Listen, it matters what you do. The decisions you make matter, and God has called you to something greater. I remember in fourth grade, every year, the last day of school, they had field day. And at field day, there were six different stations, station one, station two, station three, four, five, and six. And each of the stations was a different game. Okay, and every station was like 15 minutes or so, and then you rotated, and the team with the most points at the end of the day won this big trophy, and it was a massive shoe that was spray-painted gold, and we all wanted to win it for some reason. And at field day, it was awesome. It was the second graders and the third graders and the fourth graders, and we were all competing against one another, and it was awesome. They mixed up the teams, and I was that really competitive kid like I was in government class, like I told you. And so I really wanted to win. Second and third grade, I remember I got second place in my team. So this was my year. I'm the fourth grader. You don't want to mess with me. I'm ready. I don't know what the dog barking is tonight, but and so I that's just me. You know, that's how I fight to the finish. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm ready to go. And this is a true story. Recess happens. Little morning recess. Fourth grade. And there's this big tire out where they have recess, this big tire. No, I like to go. That was like my place. Other than my friends. So I'm laying in the tire for recess. And I have a magnifying glass. And I'm burning ants coming out of the ground. You know, you remember doing that? Did you ever feel bad doing that? Yeah, me neither. And just frying those suckers, you know what I'm saying? Just cooking them. And I felt like I was on Survivor, you know? And so I'm, the sun's beaming down. I got so consumed with it. I got so consumed with it. One of the recess aides, one of like the teachers that was out there, sees me and says, Mr. Austin Moult, says, you are missing field day. You were supposed to go inside 20 minutes ago. And I was like, I started crying. You know, I'm just devastated. I was just devastated. I go out there. They had already completed games one and two. I was already behind. And guess what? We got second place again. It was horrible. Listen, I missed out on what they had planned for me because I was focused on something that was just a distraction. I tell you that there's a lot of you, and God has plans for you, and you will miss out on them if you get focused on things that are just distractions in your life. You know what? Here's the hard part. Can we be honest for a second? Here's the hard part. There's times where you're inspired to read the Bible, you're inspired to pray, and what happens? discouraged. Why? Because you don't see any change in your life, or maybe you don't see any results. I want to tell you about Chinese bamboo. Chinese bamboo works like this. You plant it in the soil, and it sits in the soil for 4 years, and it does not grow 1 inch over the ground. Not 1 inch. Between years 4 and 5, in those 12 months, it grows up to 80 feet in just 1 year. And can I tell you, that's a lot of times how God works in our lives sometimes. Sometimes it feels like we're planting seeds, and watch this. It feels like there's no results, there's no change, there's no difference. But don't let the devil lie to you that what you're doing is not making a difference. I'm telling you, God is working on the inside of you, your character and your calling. Just keep going deeper with God. Come on, come and give me an amen tonight. Come on. Don't get focused on things that can distract you when God wants you to go deeper. When Jesus tells Simon, he says, I want to take you deeper to go fishing. You know, he's taking him from shallow water to the deeper water. And here's how you know you're going from a shallow person to a deep person. Here's how you know. I wrote this down today, and I just hope this speaks to you. Here's how you know. You go from listening to what Jesus said, like they were on the shore, to living like Jesus did. Let me give you guys a revelation real quick, okay? You ready? Everyone from the front to the back, are you guys ready for this? God does not care when it's been stopped. He doesn't care if you read the Bible. You're like, you just told me to. Here's what I mean. He does not care if you read it. He cares if you live it. God, listen, who cares if you study the Bible and you never apply it to your life? Like, who cares if you memorize a verse and it never gets into the soil of your heart? Could you imagine if my dad came home and, you know, in high school, my dad said, I want you to clean the room. I want you to clean your room. I want you to fold your laundry. Give me instructions. Fold the laundry. I want you to vacuum the floor from the tea bits. I want you to, you know, make your bed and whatever. Okay. And I said, oh, dad. This Wednesday, me and my friends are going to get together, and we're going to study and talk about what it would be like if we did what you said to do. We're going to study it. So then all my friends get together. Okay. So my dad said to go clean the room. What do you think the word clean really means? To pick up. He said to fold the laundry. I think he knows how. Now, would it matter if I memorized what he said, I studied what he said, but then never did what he actually said? Do you think my dad, I get home, I go, hey, dad, check it out, dude. I know exactly what you meant. Okay, let's go check your room. Hold on. We got a group together. We have an 8-week series on what it means to clean your room. Okay, I just want to check your room. Okay, he opens the door. It's still dirty. You didn't clean the room. I know, but I have it memorized. I can recite it back to you. Check it out. You told me, Austin, go clean your room, fold your laundry, and to clean up and vacuum the Cheez-Its on the ground. You know what my dad doesn't care about? He doesn't care that I memorized it. He cares if I applied what he said. Listen, shallow Christians, they love just listening to sermons, podcasts, camps. They love listening to what the things Jesus says. But I'm here to tell you that you go from shallow to deep. It goes from listening to what Jesus said to living like Jesus did. Let's put Colossians 2:6 up here tonight. It says this. Thank you, God. There we go. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. Come on, somebody. Do what you've been taught. School's out. I love this. Quit studying the subject. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And your living spill over into thanksgiving. I'm here to tell you tonight that you want your life to change. then start applying what God has said to you. It's not a mystery. When people tell me stuff like, my life isn't changing, it is not some secret formula. It's when they begin to put into practice the very things that Jesus preached, I'm telling you, your life will get flipped upside down. Your whole future will get flipped upside down when you begin to do and obey what God has commanded us to do. That is the difference between shallow
to deep Christianity. There we go. Oh.
I could just get somebody up here on the keys. I'm going to wrap up these thoughts tonight. Hey, anybody just getting some from this tonight? Anybody? Come on. Okay. Oh. I want to wrap up with this last thought tonight. Okay? Is that cool? Could everyone just lock your eyes in for just the last 2 hours? I'm just kidding. The last 5 minutes. Just give me that locked in vision, like you're about to win in Call of Duty. You know what I mean? 5 seconds left on the clock. Just keep, okay. You know what I'm talking about. Headshot. Here's what's funny. Jesus tells Simon, I want you to go fishing. And you know what Simon says? He says, Lord, I fished last night. We caught nothing. He says, I want you to go do it again. I want you to go deeper and do it again. Can I tell you this? Here's the trick of going deeper. God will sometimes ask you to do things that you failed at once before. But he wants you to just keep working at it. Because when his power, when his favor, when his grace is upon what you thought you could not complete or accomplish or overcome. Listen to me. Every young man in here, listen to me. With my purity, I gave up so many times. I thought I could never live a pure life. I thought I never could. But God told me, Austin, go deeper. Listen, young lady, you might think I could never be the woman of God he's called me to be. I could never be that person that you think in your head is your role model. I could never be a Bible person. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you just keep working at what God has told you to do. You might have fallen 1, 2, 3, 4 times, but I'm here to tell you tonight that nobody swims on the first try. And you may feel like you're drowning, but God's going to help you get there. You need to go fishing again. Some of you have given up on some practices that you started last summer. Some of you have given up on some things that you started months ago. And you give it up because you thought there was no change. You thought, why am I even doing this? Why should I care? But I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a destiny for your life. Listen, young man, young woman, God wants to use your life to see many people come to know Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I may have messed up 20, 30,000 times when I was a teenager. But I'll tell you what, God kept telling me over and over again, Austin, you get up again because you're called, you're called, you're called. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God doesn't call you because you're perfect or because you're willing or able even. God calls you because it's according to his will and his purposes. It's up to him, not you. And he's called you. Listen, young woman, he's called you to be different at your campus than the other girls who gossip and act like a certain way and post certain pictures. He's called you to be different. Listen, young man, listen, I'll tell you what. I got called names. I was called things that had nothing to do with me, all because I stood for what I believed in. And I'm here to tell you, who cares what anybody calls you or says to you? You're called by God to be different. Woo! Let's get our worship team up here tonight. Oh. The problem is, here's the problem. God's not a microwave, is he? You're like, no, I know that. No, I mean, he doesn't work like a microwave. It's not instant change. Instant, my relationship transfers to deep. It's a process, isn't it? God's more of a crock pot than a microwave. You know what I'm saying? You gotta simmer, okay? Take some time. It does. I'm here to tell you tonight that Christianity is both an event and a process. And here's what I mean. It's an event and a process. This new year, I joined a gym. And becoming a member of the gym happens in a moment. I became a member the minute I signed up at Kia Ora Fitness off Gage Boulevard. And I'll tell you this, seeing results in the gym, though, oh, that's a process. You know what I'm saying? Seeing change, that's a process. Becoming a member of heaven, becoming a Christian, that happens in an instant, doesn't it? The moment you put your faith in Jesus. But looking like Jesus, living like Jesus, that's a process. That takes some time. And you're going to give up on the membership because you didn't see the results because you went to the gym 3 times. Some of you need to have more courage than that, more hope and strength. That's why you need to be in church every week. That's why you need to have people around you to encourage you, because everybody out there is preaching at you to be a certain way. And that's why you just need people around you that are going to hold you up when you feel like falling down. It's an event and a process. And I want to end on this. I was praying a few weeks ago before our youth group. Our youth group's name is Gravity. And I was praying before Gravity. And have you ever prayed one of those prayers where you're trying to convince God? You know what I mean? So I'm like praying before our youth service. I'm like, God, I just pray that you would save people. And the Lord, that you would just open up their eyes. And, you know, I sound like Nacho Libre when I pray, I guess. You know, open up their eyes, you know. And Lord, I pray that you would change them and transform them, God. Set some of them free from this mindset, these addictions. And in that prayer, the Lord spoke to me. And I realized something. I was praying, trying to convince God to do something that he already wanted to do. I'm like, God, save him. He's like, I want to do that. And I realized something. I wasn't praying to convince God to do that. I was praying because I believe God was trying to convince me that he actually wanted to do it through me. Listen, there's some of you, you don't doubt that God's powerful, that he's all-knowing, that he's all-present, that he's sovereign and in control. You know God can do miracles. You just don't believe God can do a miracle in your life. You just don't believe that God can change you. You've seen the testimonies. You've heard of the other pastors and preachers and leaders getting changed, but you have not experienced the same thing. And God tonight, you're not trying to convince him to do it. He's trying to convince you and make you realize, I want to do something special in your life. I want to go deep with you. I want to go deeper with you. Come on. I want to go deeper with you. You're like, this Christianity thing ain't for me. Yes, it is. I want to go deeper with you. You might be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. You might be 20 years old in here. And you need to know tonight that God wants to go deeper with you. So let's bring it back full circle tonight. What's keeping you from going that next step with God, going deeper with you? I'm here to tell you that actually what you think is keeping you from going deeper is actually a lie. There is nothing that can keep you except for the lies we believe in our head that can't keep you. Tonight, the truth of God, I believe, that's going to break through those barriers you've built up in your mind. I was talking to a lady at this sandwich shop by our church. I said, you should come to church. I said, you know, I've been invited by somebody else to go to your church too. I was like, oh yeah? Yeah, you should have come. She goes, well, Easter morning, check this out. Easter morning, I get my makeup on. I got my daughter with me. And we get out of the apartment. I put her in the minivan car seat. And we get to drive to your church because it's 2 minutes away. She goes, and we get out of the car. I turn back around. I park the car and I go back up to the apartment. I said, why? You were so close. Because, you know, I just got really scared that maybe they're going to judge me because I'm a single parent. What? No. Our church is filled with single moms. And we love them. You're awesome. It's funny, though, isn't it? The boundaries we put in our own head of what we put between us and God. You're telling me that you struggle with lust or insecurity, pride or popularity. And so you think you can't be close to God. That's funny. Jesus died for this. He died for this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? If we could just dim some of the lights. I just want this to be almost like a private moment for some of you. If you could just do me a favor. Everyone's been absolutely phenomenal. But just, I don't want you talking to anybody else. I don't want you holding someone's hand or putting your arm over somebody else. I know, you know, you got your friends and stuff. But I want you right now to think about what's that thing in your mind that you've been saying, this has been keeping me from going deeper with God. Maybe tonight you've never taken the first step. You've never actually followed Jesus and put your whole faith and trust in Him. What He did for you on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And you want to follow Him tonight and make a decision to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus tonight, and you're at Tower 1 or Tower 2 or wherever you find yourself. You maybe even feel like you've backtracked. And tonight, God calls to you to go deeper. He's calling you to go deeper in your purity, in the Word, in prayer, in His presence, in reaching people who don't know God. And you've been stuck at the kiddie pool. But tonight I believe it's going to be breakthrough for some of you, because you're going to realize I'm called. And you're going to go deeper. I want to give two responses tonight. First off, if you don't know Jesus here, maybe you've walked away from God completely, and tonight you want to put your faith in Jesus and follow Him again or for the first time, and you want to hand over your life to Him, I'm going to ask you on the count of three, with every head bowed and every eye closed, every student here, if you just do that for me. On the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. That's all. One, two, three. If that's you, just lift your hand with me right now. Anybody here, you want to give your life to Jesus? That's awesome. That's amazing. Anybody else in this place tonight? That's so great. Come on, anybody else? Awesome. 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 Come on. All right, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Secondly, you're in here tonight. I want you to be honest with me. Come on, you're in the house of God right now. You can just be all honest and open and vulnerable. You're a Christian here tonight, and you feel like you've backslid. Like there's been this thing that's been causing you to go away from God's calling of your life. Or maybe you feel like you've just been living in this indifferent, kind of not passionate lifestyle, and you want to go deeper with God tonight. There's this deep hunger in you tonight to go deeper. Would you just lift your hand with me as well? I want to pray for you. Amen, amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Come on, that's great. I love it. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, that's awesome. Awesome. Let's pray together. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, we thank You that You're calling people to Yourself. Lord, I thank You for the hands that were lifted first, that are coming into a relationship with You either for the first time or again. And we thank You that right now they are being saved, God, and that You're changing them, and that, God, You're entering their hearts. You're forgiving them. You're surrounding them right now. We thank You that their past is forgiven, their present, their future. It's all been wiped because of the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. And secondly, Lord, I thank You for every hand lifted in here. People are saying, I want to go deeper. There's been stuff holding me back, but tonight I want to go deeper with You. And Jesus, we ask that You would guide us and lead us, that You would give us courage and the strength to be vulnerable when we need to be. And God, lead us into deeper waters. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, hey, would you stand up with me tonight?